What's up, everyone? Today, I had the pleasure to chat with award-winning Canadian country singer-songwriter Kendra Kay. In this newest episode, Kendra talked about hometown of Elkhorn, Manitoba, life on the ranch, first ever performance, career-altering trip to Nashville with their parents, single, better off, working alongside Terry Clark, what it means to be a woman in music, importance of female artist representation, Canadian country artists she looks up to, signing development deal with Willing Records and Universal Music Canada, her newest album, Homegrown Heart, and more. Now, with that being said, hope we join our conversation with Kendra. Kendra, hello.
Hello, hello.
Thank you so much for chatting with me today. It's such an honor to chat with you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Talk to me about your hometown of is it I don't want to pronounce it badly, but is it Elkhorn, Manitoba?
That's correct. Yeah, Elkhorn. It's a small little farming community right on the border of Manitoba and Saskatchewan. There's about 500 people there. I grew up, spent my whole life just on the outskirts of town. The town is pretty amazing. I'm really lucky to have the support I do at home in Elkhorn. There's lots of people that have been rooting for me since day one, and it's definitely turned me into the person that I am. So I'm very grateful for where I come from.
Absolutely. And do you still, I mean, where are you living now? Nashville?
No, I'm still actually just outside of Elkhorn. I live on a farm outside of town, so I'm not home very often, but that is where I call home still, is outside of Elkhorn.
Okay. But I mean, I think a lot of your, I guess, your roots in music come also from Nashville, because you are a country artist and you've done a lot of gigs, and you've had a lot of experiences with a lot of great artists, which we'll talk about later on. But the funny thing I found about your career was that you weren't so into music before. It started when you were a AAA hockey player, and then an injury kind of set you back, and you chose to use your emotions in a different platform, which was now music. Tell me about that story.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Growing up, I played a lot of sports. I was always busy. I was a kid that was in every single sport that was offered around home, and kind of led me to playing a little bit higher level hockey. And it was kind of the dream to go to school and maybe play some college hockey, some university hockey somewhere. And then I had gotten hurt, and I have a shoulder injury. And it was kind of like I wasn't really able to play the rest of the season, and it just, my shoulder never really healed. So I started doing more with my music. I always sang growing up. I started singing when I was about 8, but I didn't really take it seriously until after that, when I had music to turn to. So I had went down to Nashville actually later that winter. My parents had taken me down. I wanted to enter some radio contest and I needed a demo. And my family was always one to go on family trips. So we went to Nashville for our family trip, and I recorded a demo there, and it got into the hands of some of the right people that I started working with. And not too many months later, I was in the studio recording my first single. So that's kind of where that journey took me. And I'm always so grateful that, you know, sometimes you got to remember that when there's bad, there's going to be good coming. So that's how I always look at that scenario.
Absolutely. And I've interviewed a ton of country artists on this podcast already, but when I saw your bio and I was reading about you and I'm researching a lot about your life, I was like, this girl is real country. I mean, when you talk about country, you are that. And I mean, you really dug your roots into the ranch that you have, and you spend time with horses and stuff like that. Tell me about that life.
Yeah, I've always grown up with horses. My family chuck wagon races. So following the rodeo circuit through the summertime was just what we did. That was always my life. And I started riding horses a bit when I was little. And then as I got older, I found an interest in barrel racing. So I started doing a bit of that. I still barrel race now. I have a few horses of my own that I ride whenever I get the chance and take them out on the road as much as I can. So that's definitely a huge part of me. I'm really grateful that I was raised that way. It's great. I've made a lot of friends in the horse industry, and being able to have something to come home to and responsibilities to still kind of look after has definitely helped me a lot and kept me sane when I'm busy in the cities and stuff. So it's nice to come home to my horses and ride as much as I can.
Right. And you were raised in a so-called rodeo family, and on the Canadian prairies. But you also seem, what you were just saying about barrel racing, you seem like you're a very competitive person. And you like to really get involved in all sorts of different activities. And I have to ask this because I know Blake Shelton has this game show called Barmageddon. I was wondering if you would ever be interested in even going on that competition show.
Oh yeah, I love a little competition. Growing up was being so like competitive with sports and stuff, and then just, always being in events that like you kind of have to strive to succeed. That's kind of just what I've always been like, and I don't really look at it as like I'm super competitive, but at the end of the day, I kind of am, and I always want to be better and be the best that I can be. So I think that just is my competitive nature to just always keep getting better and trying to strive.
Absolutely. And how much does that sort of competitive aspect coincide with the music business? Because you have to really hustle and you have to really make good do of what you're doing in music. How much of that correlates with the music business?
It does quite a bit, really. I don't like to look at it as competition. I feel like there's room for a lot of people in the music industry. But when it comes to myself, I really I'm competitive within myself. I always want to be better and to, make better music and build more fans and kind of keep getting to the next level. Over and over again is kind of what I always strive to do. So it's kind of like this industry is hard with the fact of like it's hard to kind of see your successes because every time you get to the next level, you're already pushing to be better. So that's how I look at it. So it really does kind of resonate with my competitive attitude, but I think it's more within myself versus within the rest of the industry.
Absolutely. And I would also think that like most musicians would know what their first performance was. Do you remember what your first performance was?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you look at it. My very first performance on a stage, I was 8 years old and I sang at our school's Christmas concert. I was picked out of the class to do a solo, but my first full band performance with my very own band would have been back in about 2014, I think was the year. I played at the Morris Stampede, was one of my very first performances with the band. And then they were just musicians that I had hired. And then later that summer, in August of that year, I played my first show at home, actually in Elkhorn, while I was doing a music video at our Western Weekend, which is our rodeo days, with the band that I have now still today. So it was kind of that was the start of the real Kinder K band was in August of 2014 when we played right in home in Elkhorn for a music video.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to what you were saying about your start in music, because I do remember you kind of saying that it was your parents' trip that took you to Nashville to record that first demo in order to get into a competition show, a talent competition. And then your second trip to Nashville was your first single. I believe It's Better Off was the single. Which was written.
My first single was actually called It Was. That was on my very first EP. Better Off came after. That was the first in like single by itself without being on an album. But yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So Better Off, I want to talk about that song, because that song is co-written, I guess, written or co-produced by Terry Clark. Tell me about, having that sort of, I mean, an icon like Terry Clark, as just herself alone, what does that mean for you to really get your, I guess, first taste of music, I guess, with Terry Clark?
Yeah, that was super amazing. I was super lucky to have quite a relationship in the studio with Terry. She co-produced a full few songs on my second EP, and then the Better Off song she had co-written, and she actually was singing background vocals on it. So I'm really lucky to have had her support through all of my career, sort of here and there. And every time I run into her on the road, or anything like that. She's always game to grab a quick hello and chat and see how things are going and all that, which I absolutely love. Terry Clark was actually my very first concert that I ever went to as a kid. So I was a fan of her from a very young age. And then to kind of have the full circle moment to working with her in the studio was amazing. And she, really helped me pour a lot out of myself because she had so much experience in the studio herself. And I really enjoyed that whole thing. And it made me look at recording and writing a whole different way. So I take that experience and really see it, how it's evolved me as an artist.
Absolutely. And do you have any favorite songs from Terry Clark?
I think probably my favorite Terry Clark song is Better Things to Do, probably.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I was just looking at Better Things to Do. 1995 was the release. But you didn't, I mean, well, you owned your first record, and it was, I believe it was Garth Brooks, and it was In Pieces. What other records do you own now?
Oh man, it's turned into such a singles world. I listen to a lot of records, but it is online. I do have to admit that I listen to a lot of music over, Spotify and Apple Music and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. But I've really listened to a lot of artists lately. One person that I really love, their new album is Lainey Wilson. That album is super cool, and I really enjoy listening to that music. Cody Johnson is another one that I've listened to from top to bottom multiple times. I kind of definitely like that, more traditional, modern sounding country that's coming out again, which is definitely the lane that I strive to be in. So it's kind of cool to see artists like, big artists like that taking that traditional sounding country music and making it sound so modern and so fresh. So it's definitely those types of albums that I'm listening to through and through.
For sure. And Lainey Wilson, yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. I think Lainey Wilson is definitely one of the more up and coming artists that have really solidified her spot in music and in country music. Her album Bell Bottom Country, which is a great title for an album, and Cody Johnson's album is really good too. My favorite song from Cody Johnson is Till You Can't. And that's a song that I've been singing for quite some time, and he's done a lot of also great collaborations, and he's been able to perform in front of so many different legendary people, including Vince Gill, recently at the CMT Giants. He performed When I Call Your Name. I mean, was there any other traditional sort of country artist other than Lainey Wilson and Cody Johnson that you kind of looked up to?
It's a lot. I kind of look back into the 90s a lot with country and maybe even farther back a bit. Like Patti Loveless and Carlene Carter and that kind of era of country music for women was something that I really listened to a lot growing up. And then into the 90s with the Trisha Yearwood and Terry Clark, of course, and Patricia Conroy, Michelle Wright, and Shania Twain, of course. All of us Canadian girls love our Shania. Those are definitely artists kind of growing up that I listened to that helped shape who I wanted to be as an artist and kind of got that strong female empowerment from at an early age because it was just music that I liked to listen to. And then it kind of evolved into the type of music that I started to sing and then kind of into the music that I started to record myself. So it's definitely been an uphill climb from listening to that music growing up to creating it myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, listening to people like George Strait, listening to people like Vince Gill, and sometimes you do get moments where you listen to people like Frank Sinatra, and Bing Crosby, but that's just a few of the names that I currently listen to. But obviously, you are a female artist, and you're very vocal about how important representation is also in the industry. Can you talk to me about the significance behind that and why you feel so strongly about that?
Just when it comes to females in the country music industry, there's definitely been a big shift over the last few years, which has been nice to see. But kind of going back a little bit farther than that, it was hard for women in the industry. And I don't like to play the poor woman, poor me kind of card, but it's definitely you've seen the shift at radio. When it comes to the charts and just festivals and everything, there wasn't many women being played much, and there wasn't many women getting spots in festivals and all that. So there's definitely been a shift, which is very nice to see. But I just feel it's important. There's a lot of strong women coming up, especially here in Canada. So it's nice to see that they're getting some recognition and that there's some artists doing such big things, and not even just here, but over in the States and across the pond and everything. So it's nice to see that, and I really believe that the women can do just as much in this industry as men can. So I hope that the shift keeps heading in the right direction for that.
For sure. And I want to read something that you said about female artist representation. You said being a female artist can definitely have its disadvantages at some points, but I believe that there's been a realization of the wrongdoing of misrepresentation of females at radio, festivals, etc. The talent pool in Canada right now is huge, and there are so many strong females coming up at the ranks and making a name that we have started to see a shift in the way females get looked at. And so when you're talking about seeing that shift in the female category of music, I guess. What does it mean to you being a woman in music today?
Well, it means a lot, definitely. That's kind of it shows that things were realized, that there needed to be a shift. So it's not, when you see it, it's nice to see that. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of strong women coming up and making a name for themselves, and in making history and breaking barriers and stuff. So it's definitely what all of us females want to see, because there's definitely just as much talent on the other side of the gender than what used to be kind of shown. So I'm glad that the shift has been seen and things are starting to look the right direction.
Absolutely. And in 2019, I guess you won back-to-back MCMA Fans Choice Award. But in 2020, it was so-called a tough year for you. There was a lot of, because I guess for a lot of musicians, it's tough when there's a lot of virtual things happening rather than being physically in person with fans and doing performances live. But when you're spending so much time on the road, you kind of forget that there are bigger things that matter than doing live performances all the time. And you talked about, sometimes when you're in the hustle and bustle, you're recording and writing, and it's a cycle. You can lose sight of who you truly are as an artist when you chase the commercial market. I mean, when that 2020, I guess that's when the lockdown really started. How important was it for you to ground yourself in that moment and to really understand the more important things?
It was huge. I was lucky that I kind of don't live in the middle of the city, and was kind of confined to my little house or something like that, like a lot of people unfortunately were. Just being out in the country, I still was able to get outside and do a lot. I turned to my life on the farm, and it kept me going. But it also made me realize how much I love touring and how much I love music, because when I didn't have it, I sure missed it. And it made me want to be better and just to be able to make a career long standing of it, because at the end of the day, when I didn't have that to turn to, I felt like I kind of lost a piece of myself. So I took a lot of time to just discover what I wanted in life and what I wanted in my music career. Kind of moving forward from that. So it was a good kind of reset for me to just look at, where I was at and where I wanted to be and how I needed to get there. And that was sort of a good time for me. It was tough to not be on the road. It was tough to not be recording, but I really took that time to figure out what I wanted. And I feel like it was a good shift, because I feel like I'm even more invested in my music career than I ever was, and I know what I want more now. I know what kind of music I want to do. I know what type of artist that I am. So it was good for me, in a lot of ways, although it was really not good to not be on the road. But now I don't take it for granted, and every time a show comes in and every time I get the opportunity to play in front of people, I'm so grateful because of that.
Absolutely. And I want to ask you, because you've talked a lot about being on the ranch and how it sort of grounded you, but when you're in that place, I guess when you're surrounded in the country and on the ranch, does that place specifically help you understand the importance of roots?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a firm believer of roots and family. I'm very close with my family, and I plan to always be that way. And I think it's just the way that I was raised, with that sort of lifestyle. It's just there's always a place to come home to there. You know, it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. There's, you know, I'm always welcome at home. So that's definitely just being raised in that atmosphere has taught me that and made me truly believe it. So it's kind of a way that I want to always live my life and just continue. You know, some days if I have kids myself or whatever, I hope that that's just a continuous train of having those roots mean something.
Absolutely. And you've done a lot of great work, and you've achieved a lot. You've done, championship buckle and barrel racing. What is barrel racing, by the way?
It's a piece of the rodeo. It's when the easiest way to describe it is you run a horse in as fast as you can into an arena and you do a cloverleaf pattern around three barrels and then run home. It usually takes about 17 seconds, 17 to 19 seconds, depending on the pattern. And it's just a part of the rodeo. It's what most of the females do. Nowadays there is women doing some bronc riding and some more roping and stuff like that, which is really amazing to see, but it's definitely more female driven sport in the rodeo.
Absolutely. I and you know what? Like, I really feel like you should go on Barmageddon, Blake Shelton's show. I think you'll match up really well. And Blake Shelton's gonna get jealous if he loses in that competition. Yeah, you've done a lot. You've done 6-time Manitoba Country Music Association Award winner, CFL Banjo Bowl halftime show, Boots and Hearts pre-party, Dolphins C Country Fest main stage, Canadian Finals Rodeo, and so forth and so forth. But you also toured across Canada as direct support for Tanya Tucker, James Barker Band, Dean Brody, Jess Moskaluk, and many others. And so when we're talking about country, I mean, I want to talk about the Canadian country artists. Who are some of the other people in Canada that are doing country music that you have looked up to?
Oh, there's so many. When it comes to kind of the female game, I guess I would say I've always really liked what Jess Moskaluk is doing. She's a rural country girl herself. She still calls her small town home as well. So I love that she was able to make a career here in Canada and still stay true to herself and be at home in small town Saskatchewan. Megan Patrick's another one that I've always really liked. Of course, Shania Twain, being c Canadian, she's definitely all of our girls. She's one we've always looked up to. There's a lot of men as well that I've loved listening to over the years. Of course, just playing shows with like Charlie Major and Dean Brody. Those guys are like super cool, and it's just so amazing that they welcome a young female, you know, to open for them and have that amazing experience. So there's a lot of Canadian artists. I feel like everybody right now that's kind of making waves. I support and I look up to because this industry is hard. So kind of for everybody that's trying to do it too, I look up to what they're doing and continue and want to be a part of this industry with them as well.
Absolutely. And recently, you also signed a development deal with Willing Records and Universal Music Canada. Tell me about, when you first sort of got that, I guess, notification or a phone call or an email, whatever it was, about being signed to a deal like that.
It was definitely a long standing relationship that before anything kind of came to officially be, but I had met with Bobby Wales back in the late fall of 2021 when the CCMAs were in London. We had sat down for brunch and just had a chat, and that was kind of the start of that relationship. He expressed an interest. He was starting up this label, Willing Records, under Universal Music Canada, and he was looking for a female artist, and he was liking what I was doing. So the conversation started there. Over the next, you know, into 2022, we kept in touch. Obviously, I kept him in the loop of what I was doing with recording and stuff, and then I had this album ready to go and sent it over to him, and the team was interested in distributing it. So from then we kind of made a plan on release date and kind of rollout and what was coming next. So that was kind of how all that worked. So it was you know, kind of a 6 month to almost I guess close to 6 months planned before things got signed, and then another 6 months after that before the album actually came out. But it was kind of an amazing thing to have people like that interested in joining the team and wanting to distribute your music and get it into the world. So I'm really grateful that I have the support that I do. People that keep joining onto the team and wanting to see me succeed, that's just all I could ever ask for. I work with some amazing people, so I'm really lucky that they see the vision that I have, and they see my goals, and they want to help make them happen. And that's all we could ever ask for, is to have help with that, because this industry is hard, like I've said before. But to have a team that you really can count on and look to for advice and help, and just even just somebody to talk to and bounce ideas off, is amazing. So just having them, join onto the team and be a part of that has been amazing.
And I want to also ask you about when there are times where there is, I guess, when there are moments when it gets hard, and there's a lot of things that set you back. And so when you sort of come into a moment that is a moment of difficulty, how do you sort of pivot and help yourself feel inspired to do something else?
It always varies for me, but I usually go riding. I usually go to my horses if things are tough and I need, just to reset and just refocus and kind of find my bearings. I usually go and take my horse for a ride and just forget about the rest of the world for a little while, and then come back to things with a fresh mind. I have great support at home. I have amazing family that I'm able to talk to, and my whole team around me, everybody that's in my life. I'm really grateful that they support me so much. And between, having them to just talk to and all that, I don't do much alone when it comes to decision making. I have a lot of people to talk to, but to keep myself sane, I go outside, I play with the dog, or I take my horses for rides, and that's kind of what I do to keep sane and reset and be inspired to continue to be me and chase my dream, I guess.
For sure, being inspired by home, and you've released a new album called Homegrown Heart, that is a great album, and we have to talk about it. So, walk me through the creation of that album.
It was a long time coming, that's for sure. I started recording some of these songs as early as 2019. So, having that, of course, we had a year off because of COVID, and then almost another year off because of the year after COVID and just resetting into life. But the making of this album was really, it didn't start as, when I started recording the very first song on this album. It wasn't like, this is going to be my debut full-length album. It was kind of after a few songs that we had finished. We were going to do an EP. Was just a few songs was the original plan when I started recording. And where I was at in my life and where I was at in my career, I really felt it was time to introduce myself to the world, and to put out, my debut full-length album was something that I felt I was finally ready for. Because I've been recording music now for almost 10 years. I first went to the studio when I was 15 years old. So I really have figured out over those 10 years who I am, what I want to say, how I want to be, what kind of artist I am, what kind of songs I want to sing and write and record and all that stuff. So, it took time. It's definitely not something that's always just born into. You have to kind of discover it. And I feel like I had finally been at that. I was finally at that point where I knew what I wanted, and what I wanted to say, and how I wanted to say it. So that was kind of the decision to finish off the full length album and have it ready to go. So we continued to record. I continued to write and reach out for songs, and we got this body of music together that just kind of introduced who Kendra K was to the world. And I wrote the song Homegrown Heart with a friend of mine from Manitoba, Tyler Delpino. And I felt like it was the perfect title just to introduce myself to the world, because at the end of the day, that's all I am, is just this country kid that was chasing a dream. And, my heart is definitely embedded at home on the farm, and it's made me who I am. So that's the title came from that. And I got to do the photo shoot with my barrel horse, Jan, and she's on the cover of my album with me. So it was the whole thing just all worked out to be kind of the perfect storm, and I'm really grateful that this is finally out into the world and it went number one on iTunes when it released the day of. So I'm, you know, I couldn't have been happier with how that all went. It's just kind of the dream when you put out an album to have it go number one and have so much support and love behind it. It really meant the world.
Absolutely, and I want to talk about the title track, "Homegrown Heart." There are lyrics that are very poignant in that song. The first verse that goes, "But there's a little piece of land outside a little no map town you never see, and there ain't too much around, but if you look around, you find me. It's where the dirt roads of stories and family generations run deep. No, there ain't too much around here, but that's where you'll find me." And then again, the chorus would go, "It's where I go to find the answers when the truth plays hide and seek, where I feel my spirit dancing when I let my soul run free. It's where I first felt love, where I first fell hard. But this life ain't right for everyone, but it's right for this homegrown heart." I mean, it definitely screams being on the ranch, and it definitely screams, being surrounded with horses, and like we were talking about earlier in the interview, about when you find difficulties, you take a ride with your horse, and try to get away from that negativity. Tell me the, I guess, the inspiration behind those lyrics.
Yeah, well, the whole idea for me, why I wanted to write this song, like one of the questions I get asked the most. Is and maybe not so much actually. I don't get asked this question as much anymore since I started releasing music like this, but I used to get asked quite often, like, why do you still live where you live? Why are you living in a small town? Why do you live on the farm? Like, it's so far to the airport, it's so far to all your shows. And it was hard for me to answer that question without just being because, like, answering, well, it's because it's who I am, like, it's what I want to do. Like, that's as easy as that. It means something to me, it keeps me me. And I wanted to be able to write a song that almost said that, and just, but not without just saying it's because I want to live here. So I wanted to take, you know, how at home makes me feel and why I love it so much, and put it into a song. So the one day I was this, the whole idea of the song came to be, I was vacuuming my house. Like, this is a very true story. I was vacuuming my house and I looked out my living room window and I see my horses running across the field, and the first two lines of the song just came out of me. I just started singing this song, it like it was already written. So I sat down on the couch with my guitar, which I didn't, I'm not a guitar player through and through, so for me to pick up the guitar and start kind of playing things wasn't too often that it happened. But I sat down and I started playing around with some chords and found what I was singing. And then later that week, I had a write with Tyler, and I said, like, I have this song kind of started. I just need a direction with it. And I told him the story of kind of what life meant to me on the farm, and why I live where I live, and what I love about it, and what it means to me, and played him those first few lines. And from there, we just kind of started writing, and I started telling him stories, and he kept pulling ideas out of me, and this is what we came up with. So that's the whole story behind Homegrown Heart, and I'm really pleased with how the song turned out. I feel like it is a real representation of how I feel about being at home and why I live where I live. So that's, it did its purpose and kind of got to introduce myself to the world.
Absolutely. And for people who haven't listened to Homegrown Heart, you can stream that album on all music streaming platforms, including on Apple Music. And so, with everything being said and everything that we've talked about on this interview, now looking back on everything, do you feel like there's still that responsibility to make it in the music business?
I feel, yeah, yes and no. I've never been asked that question really much, so I haven't really thought of that answer. I feel like I owe it to myself to continue, more than anything. I think before I used to feel like I owed it to other people almost a little bit more. I've never really started this music career with the idea in my head that I needed to get to a certain spot. When I was, you know, 15, down in Nashville for the very first time, and was in the studio, and I had met with this producer that I worked with for a lot of years. One of the first questions I ever got asked was, what do you want to do? Like, what's your goal? What's your dreams? What do you want to do with this music career? And I was, all my answer was, I just want to hear my songs on the radio. That was what I answered. That's all I, at that point in my life, that was like, I'm recording music. I want to hear myself on the radio. And I'm super grateful because I've heard myself on the radio. I'll be driving down the road and driving on the highway or going to shows or wherever, and my song comes on the radio. And when I, you know, when I keep thinking like, oh, I need to be better, I need to do more, I remember back to that 15-year-old kid that literally just wanted to hear their music on the radio, and I've accomplished that dream. So everything else that comes with that has been a bonus, and I just need to always remind myself of that and take it with stride. Of course, I want to keep succeeding and keep growing my fan base and my career as much as I can. But at the end of the day, everything that I ever dreamt of as a 15-year-old kid kind of came true. So the more that I get to do, the better. But I just try and keep positive about that and just owe it to myself to always stay true to who I am and just do it because I love it. And that's the whole reason behind it.
Absolutely. And as we're wrapping up here with 2 minutes or more left in this meeting time, I want to quickly ask you this question. Now that you're talking about your 15-year-old self, what would you tell that 15-year-old self if you were to look back on that moment? What would you tell that younger self?
That there's always good with the bad, and you know, when one door closes, another one opens. And I feel like anybody listening that has a dream, I feel like they should just go for it. Nothing in life is ever easy. Nothing should come easy, and you need to work for everything that you want in life, I feel. So, you know, if you have a dream, just chase it. Just keep going for it. Even though times get tough, they always get better, and there's always kind of light at the end of the tunnel, so keep chasing that.
Absolutely. And if there's any chance we could squeeze this in and keep it quick, if there's one person that you would sing and play a song with that's in heaven already, who would it be and what song would you play?
I would have to pick, you know, I'd pick Patsy Cline and I would sing Crazy. That'd be a cool one, definitely.
Okay. Well, it's the end of our time together, but thank you so much for chatting with me. I had such a blast and just a really good chance to pick your brain about your career and really understand your home roots. To the listeners who made it this far into the episode, thanks so much for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with award-winning Canadian country singer-songwriter Kendra Kay. You can connect with Kendra on all social media platforms. You can find her on kendrakcountry.com. You can help support my show as well by sharing with family and friends on social media. You can find me on all podcast streaming platforms. I've been your host, Shigmi Kelt, saying thanks for tuning into the show.